When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The 2 hours you've all been waiting for is finally here.
I had to jump in, man. The streets are hot. I had to jump in here quick.
I mean, the streets are so hot.
Moneyline with the dynamic duo of Donnie Wrightside and Kevin Walsh.
But you usually have some plans when you're rocking solo.
Really, dude? Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
All right, let me just start with this. How good is the NBA then right now? How good is the NBA play postseason right now?
That's so fun.
Is it not delivering? Is it not delivering every night?
And I woke up again in the middle of the night to see that score and go, oh my goodness. And then when I saw the highlights of how it ended, wow, exactly.
Insanity. I mean, the fact that none of them covered.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
New week, new money. Welcome in, Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. This is Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin, and you know the drill. For the next 2 hours, we're going to hit every single topic you need, which includes massive games tonight on the NBA card, massive games over the weekend, Stanley Cup playoffs, Major League Baseball, and a whole load of hot topics, K-Dub. It's time. We're ready to go. I think it's time.
Bang, bang, bang. Here we are, ready to rock and roll, man. It's a new week. For some of us, it's the end of the week. It's a mixed bag right now, but we're in the mix. We're in the mix.
I mean, Kevin's week goes like this. Thursday, Friday, Monday, done. Man, what a schedule. I mean, come on now. You get three-day work weeks over here, apparently. It's the way it is.
You know, I mean, listen. It's a little slanderous to the work that gets put in on Betting Above the Rim, but I also, you got to keep your gimmick strong. So I respect it. I respect it all. I don't think it's too slanderous.
What happens to that show when you're down to like just like two teams left in the finals? Do we go both days? What do we do?
It's even better. Are you kidding me? It's the NBA final. Don't ask me questions like that.
Here's what I'm hoping. The NBA does this, which I know they won't, but I'm hoping that maybe there was a scheduling quirk where, again, as I like to say, Dua Lipa was in the arena and he couldn't do anything. No. No game Saturday, no game Sunday. Finals games are Friday, Monday that week. Tremendous, right?
Now, why would anybody want that?
Because that's true professionalism to get through shows like that.
No, that's no dice. No, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Man, it is. When was the last time you watched an NBA final game? Like 3 years ago? My goodness, with those start times?
Yeah, it's like the best part about it is like the start times are 9 o'clock, which feels like amazing compared to what they do now. Because you know what I did this week? I'm like, oh man, I can't wait. 10 o'clock. Oh, let me see about when 10 o'clock again. Like they're bound to say we have a showcase series for the ages, but yet we laugh because nobody can watch it. I love that. I do love that. I think it's great.
Now again, I do have to add the reference note that it's been a record setting series in terms of viewership.
Yeah, imagine what it would be. Come on now.
No, and that's certainly plausible, but people are showing up to watch that series in droves, which is unsurprising. I think it is a shame that the game of the series you were able to lock in the most to did end up being a 30-point rout, though.
Yes.
I don't think that's what you were trying to sign up for there.
No, but I just like to check. Like, yes, I really enjoyed the Sixers game. Again, 3:30 in the afternoon. I really enjoyed when Golden State played Sacramento, 3:30 in the afternoon. It's just that's where those games should be played, and the fact that they still line up at 10 o'clock. But again, we could do this every single day. It just gets me angry when I see the 10 o'clocks out there. By the way, speaking of scheduling, 2023 NFL schedule rumors. NFL planning the first Monday triple header in league history, which is on Christmas Day. Whew. Now, what's that? Whew. Sounds like an extra day of work for you, by the way, Monday. Yep, it does. Is that what you're pondering there? Like, oh, no.
Let me tell you, don't get yourself roped in, though. Don't get yourself roped in. Man, oh, man. Wait, now, hold on a minute. You said something this morning, though, that apparently the schedule's not ready. Was that true, or is that you messing around?
That's true. What's going on there? Here's what I'm figuring right now. Now, there's always a lot of things to go in, but that's what we have computers for, and that's what we have schedule makers. Like, the minute the regular season ends the year before, you're putting the schedule together, which, again, it's not one guy on, like, a chalkboard. Like, okay, well, the Ravens playing week one. No, they don't do that. It just feeds it in where the dates are open and what makes the most sense, right? And then they tweak it. It's like, no, hold on. You just had, like, the Ravens schedule. Their first 9 games are on the road. Then the next 8 games are at home. Like, stop it. Like, put this back through the system. But having said that, like, you have teams like the Ravens. The reason I bring up the Ravens are, we're like, hey, by the way, we have 5 primetime games for the Ravens. If Lamar Jackson is in there, you don't want them on primetime. It almost feels like they got caught in, like, the middle going, okay, now we know where everybody stands, who's playing, what teams they're on. We got to now make some tweaks late, and maybe it's not working out, like, right away for them.
I guess, but my thing with that is, one, they make bad primetime decisions all the time. We know they have the ability to flex, right? And also, I don't think people are going to be like, can you believe that Lamar isn't on primetime? It was kind of like how the Nets didn't get on NBA's Christmas this year, right? Despite Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving being on the team, because the NBA couldn't risk that basically being what the Nets turned into, right? Like, oh, we're showcasing Spencer Dinwiddie at noon Eastern. Like, we can't have that there. Where I don't think many people be like, man, why are they not putting Lamar on primetime? Like, well, because they didn't know Lamar was going to be on the team kind of deal there. And I understand if you want to make some, you know, a couple changes here and there, but it really, I mean, if they're moving the whole schedule around for Lamar, that feels like that would be missing the boat. But it's an interesting idea.
Now, here's the tough scene, though, right? Because we're going to get a dip into this maybe in the next segment as well. I mean, NBA loves themselves some Christmas Day action. Oh, and the NFL is going to do one of these 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 8 o'clock. Good luck out there, NBA. It's tough when you go toe-to-toe with the king, man. Sometimes it doesn't work out in your favor. A lot to get to today. A lot of fun to be had. Get your phone calls in. 844-843-6879. It's Moneyline on a Monday. Kevin and Donnie. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here, hour number one, in full effect, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Sonny, Kevin here. It's Moneyline, as usual. I don't even want to say two good games tonight, because I don't think it's two good games tonight. You're going to have one boar fest. Now, see, granted, Kevin, you know what? You know what?
On.
The Knicks and the Heat, that's your melatonin game. Like, I might not have to take my melatonin tonight, because the Knicks and the Heat will bore me to sleep at 7:30, and it'll be easy. But look, hear me out, NBA, and I know you'll never do this, and I'm sorry for bringing this up again. Put the Warriors and the Lakers on at 7. Put the Heat and the Knicks on at 10. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well,
let's
go.
I mean, come on. I mean, do it.
You dropped such a ridiculous line today where you're like, another under in this series, despite the fact that the Knicks series has just been overs the whole time. You're like, no, it doesn't count. If the total's that low, the game's gone under no matter what.
Exactly. That's the viewpoint, like a 206.5. But I look at that game, too. We'll spin it around in hour number two and get into like the nuts and bolts. But just the way I feel like the Knicks and the Heat series, it's funny because the Heat have been so good in the playoffs. Like, they're playing that boring style basketball and beating teams, and it's almost like I'm not paying attention. And before you know it, boom, the Heat are going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals with two gentlemen sweeps. That's the way it feels. I still can't wrap my head around it.
Well, I think you should be able to, because honestly, I don't think it's actually that hard to digest. Jimmy Butler, when the playoffs begin, turns into one of the 5 best players in the world. The gap between Eric Spoelstra and every coach in the Eastern Conference is unimaginable, and it is shown up every single time they enter a series, and everybody else on this roster has a world of playoff experience. I mean, it's really not that... I mean, like, fine, like, let's push the boundaries here. How much different are they than Golden State? I mean, I mean, style of play, no, I got you. But, you know, you've got Jimmy Butler, you've got Steph Curry. And you might say, oh, where's their Klay Thompson? But I think most people would have probably before the year told you Bam Adebayo is way better than a Klay Thompson. I mean, his likely comp anyway would more so probably be a Draymond Green. Spoelstra versus, you know, again, against a Steve Kerr. In terms of accomplishments, they both have a ton of them. And then you get to the depth of the teams. The Heat have depth. Love, Lowry, guys that have been there before. Whether that's Duncan Robinson or Max Strus or Gabe Vincent, these guys have very real playoff experience here. Miami is not somebody, you got to think about it like this, Donnie. Preseason expectations. The Heat weren't supposed to be a 7-8 seed, right? They're supposed to be a top 4 seed in the conference. And now they're playing basketball like it. It's not, it is and it isn't that crazy what's going on with Miami.
Yeah, who ends it now? Like, who ends it for the Heat? Is it Jimmy Butler getting injured, or Adebayo getting injured, or they just keep rolling along, and they do damage in the West? Like, I mean, the Miami Heat here winding up in the finals would be insane the way you thought it would play out originally.
No, and no doubt. And I think if that happens, again, it's going to, you know, kind of one of your favorite, my favorite lines, at least of yours, destruction, terror, and mayhem.
Yes.
Where everybody's going to start, you know, changing up coaching and rosters if all of a sudden Miami ends up in the finals. But look, they're two wins away from going to their third conference finals in 4 years. Look, the reality is this is who the Miami Heat are. They have been the class of the Eastern Conference, arguably now, for the past four seasons. It's been them, Boston, and Milwaukee. That is what the Eastern Conference has been now during this run. And I know they're missing Tyler Hero, and he could very well come back. You know, can Miami push this the whole way? I look at it like this. If we feel like the biggest issue Boston has right now is their head coach, boy, that's very concerning, thinking that it's Eric Spoelstra who could be waiting for the Boston Celtics on the other side. And boy, we know the history the Heat and the Sixers have with one another.
Yeah, the Heat are up 2-1 in that series here, too, with game four tonight in their own building. They sit at 21-1 to win the NBA championship, which is behind the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks are 43-1. But it almost feels like, because for me, I'm already moving the Heat into the next round. Now, granted, can the Knicks come back? Absolutely they can. They have the talent to do it. But just the way the Heat are playing basketball, it's no more. Like, they were, hey, look at that. Sooner or later, the Bucks are going to come back. Oh, Bucks double-digit lead with 5 minutes to go. Bang, gone. Next game, oh, Bucks double-digit, gone. Like, it's almost like you can't even doubt the Miami Heat right now and moving them on. They have a massive price, and they're going to come up against a Philadelphia 76ers team, which, you know, Jimmy Butler likes to play against Philadelphia and has it in for him, and granted, you know, you use that little chip on your shoulder, or the Celtics they can beat. It's almost like, I'm not taking a flyer on the Miami Heat to win the championship, but it's no longer looking at them as like the 8th seed Miami Heat going up against the Bucks. There's no way they can win a championship. There's a legitimate chance they wind up in the final.
100%. And the reality is, once a team is in the finals, you can't. No one has ever once appeared in an NBA finals and we go, hey, is this team a title contender? No, they're in the finals. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, imagine if a team got to the Super Bowl and you went, hey, can this team win a Super Bowl? Like, they're in it. It's an irrelevant question. Now, it doesn't mean that you'll pick them over any of the teams in the Western Conference, but I think you're right in this respect, where betting Miami game to game still kind of feels like the best way to go about it, right? This team here has just been so incredible. And you look at their money lines, their, you know, a lot of plus money has been out there. They've been a dog in, what, all but one of their wins so far this playoff, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It really is. And tonight, as you look at those lines, you know, 4.5-point favorites here, I think they win and get it done tonight, but just looking at some of those prices, and even just to win the Eastern Conference, the Miami Heat are a plus 480 price here. And no longer, you're right, you don't win two playoff series. And also, it's not like, hey, well, you know, they beat an easy team. No, they beat the most talented team, the number one overall seed in the NBA in round one, and didn't take them seven games where they got to get lucky. They really took it to the Bucks and won that, which was incredible the way that series played out. So just something to keep an eye on. What about the Eastern Conference MVP market here? Have you taken a look at that lately?
Are we at the point now where it is worth looking at the Jaylen Brown price? Because I think if you look at who's left in, other than the, like, if the Heat win it, it's Jimmy, right? If the Sixers win it, unless, are you open to the idea of Harden? Are you open to that? I don't think that could be, though, really. No, right? Harden couldn't take a conference finals MVP off of him, could he?
Here's the thing, though. Well, he could, because he's playing so well now. Where you might, you still don't know. Like, oh, would it be a surprise if game six, hey, by the way, Embiid's knee is a little balky. We've seen that many times in the past. Out of nowhere, Joel Embiid getting hurt and Harden having to step up. Because also, we're not talking about the finals MVP. It's just the Eastern Conference. And right now, this is James Harden's run right now. Like, with you, clinching it over the Brooklyn Nets. It was James Harden in that final game. Clinching it over the, you know, or game one, I should say, against the Boston Celtics. That was James Harden. Game four, that was James Harden. Like, if you ask me right now who's the MVP of the Sixers, Harden, because of how well he's played in that upper echelon.
So here's, I'll push back in that. I think it's actually, for the first time ever, feels even, because Embiid was, you know, Harden wrongfully, but was ejected in that game three, and Embiid was magical there. His scoring numbers weren't great against Brooklyn, but that's because the insane doubles they were sending him, and it's not like Harden was elite there. Now, again, Harden has been super special in two games in this series, but man, what I was seeing online yesterday, Joel Embiid became one of the first guys in a long time that I've seen, Donnie, to get the LeBron James treatment, where apparently Joel Embiid isn't allowed to get help from his teammates. The amount of tweets that I said, this guy James Harden is saving Joel Embiid. I'm sorry, what? Joel Embiid is 34 and 13. The heck are you talking? I'm sorry. Harden isn't allowed to be on a max contract, be a former MVP, and go out there and play like it after having two absolutely garbage games in a row. Like, this is dinging up Embiid's status. So I'm not trying to downplay Harden, but I think, you know, again, Embiid is kind of in this weird spot where if he's not going out there for 50 a night, people are like, I mean, this guy's getting so much help, but is he? It, like, oh, thanks, Harden, for playing good twice in this series. Do you know what I mean? Like, if Harden wasn't awful, right, in game number three, the Sixers might be up 3-1 in this series.
You never know, people. And that's why they play the games. And then we'll be playing two more tonight, two more tomorrow night. Knicks, Heat, Warriors, Lakers. Can't wait to break it all down. Same game parlays, try to stay hot, try to find some added advantages. It's all here. It's what we do on Moneyline. Get involved. 844-843-6879. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on Moneyline for a Monday. Two big games in the NBA tonight. And I know we dipped into them a little bit, but sometimes you got to take that step back here and be like, hey, what happened over the weekend, right? Well, let's really like set the table for what's about to happen moving forward. Saturday, obviously an eventful day. And it's nice because every day we're getting two basketball games, it seems like now, which is great. Knicks Heat absolutely pummel the Knicks, which is a game we just talked about here. And granted, the series for me doesn't have all that much juice, but the Lakers-Warriors game certainly does. They won by 30 on Saturday night. And I feel like, I don't want to say like the lead was buried in that game, right? Because it was a Saturday night game. The Lakers blew them out. It almost feels like, again, people watched the game. People enjoyed the game, even though the Lakers blew them out. If you had a winning ticket, fine. If you're a Lakers fan, fine. If you're a Warriors fan, you're upset by it. But I feel like it was far enough away where it like was out of your mind. Like Sunday had a couple of really good basketball games. Sixers Celtics go to OT and the Suns Nuggets was tremendous at night. I feel like that Saturday night Lakers Warriors game is a little bit forgotten. And then it gets teed up again tonight because of the whole adage, all right, the Warriors will have their back against the wall if they don't come out firing tonight and go down 3-1.
I mean, it's incredible the degree to which tonight's games are such swing games in that, you know, again, it's kind of obvious, I guess, right? But like 3-1 versus 2-2, but not only 2-2. So like Phoenix was able to make it 2-2, but Denver still holds home court.
Yeah.
Philly made it 2-2, home court held. If the Warriors or the Knicks are able to win tonight, they not only even the series, but all of a sudden, they probably go back to series favorites on, I think, any sports book. The Warriors definitely go back to series favorites. The Knicks Heat line is going to be close either direction, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Knicks became the favorites on a victory, which is why, again, like tonight is so difficult for me in terms of sides. I actually yesterday, you know, doing BATR, you know me, I'm not a super strong side better, but I'll tell you, you know, if I'm leaning, and I actually felt pretty good that Philly would win, and I, you know, you and I have been talking so much about Phoenix, and I thought they could make it 2-2. I'm really struggling with tonight. And maybe, though, you have the right idea of, look, let's just keep this simple and obvious here. These two teams are better. They're at home. They're going to handle their business. Yes. And I know that's what you've been thinking. I'm just not committed really either direction, I feel, right now on a side in either one of these games. I find them both very difficult side-wise.
Yeah, no, it's because, again, to each his own and what you see coming through. But I just look at myself. That's why I talk about, like, the Heat series has become boring to me because I just think they're better overall. Like, if Jimmy Butler plays and is at least average, it just seems like they can manhandle the Knicks. Now, great, it's only three games, and they can, and again, the Knicks have won a game. They can win another game. They can win this series. But just the optics for me is the Heat are at home. They should win this game. And if they do, it's not by 1 point or 2 points. You should be able to cover the 4.5. And I have the same feeling about the Lakers, which is pretty nuts, considering how talented the Warriors are, how we know Steph Curry can get hot. The ultimate equalizer is the three-point line. They do it with the best of them. But I just look at that series as well to myself and say, the Lakers are better. The Warriors can't win on the road. Now, granted, they got slapped by 30 in the ebbs and flows of the NBA. The Lakers could get hammered as well. I just don't see that coming. Because here's what you're telling me, right? And this is the way I explained it this morning. You have 2 3-point shooters in the Splash Brothers. What do they have to do tonight, Kevin? Combine for 15 threes? And they go, okay, they have a chance to win. Like, see what I'm saying here? Like, yeah. Steph and Klay have to go bananas tonight for me for the Warriors to win this game. If they do, then maybe there's nothing the Lakers can do. But that's the way I see it. If I just get normal Klay, 19 points, 21 points, Steph goes for 33, the Lakers win that game.
Yeah, I think what's fascinating on the Steph angle specifically is, you know, what level of desperation are we talking about here from Steve Kerr? I mean, he's not going to go game seven level desperation, is he? Probably not. No. But it's of that level, right? I mean, it's near that level. Going down 3-1 to this Laker team that's already won inside your building is as close to being done as done is. And I don't know what Kerr is necessarily going to kind of do with that. You would expect an uptick, but how far is he truly, truly willing to push that envelope here in this spot? And the other thing, you know, when you brought this up this morning, I know the Warriors have a pair of road wins this postseason, but those did come after the De'Aaron Fox injury. And I think anybody can see that De'Aaron Fox was not the same basketball player after the injury. And this is a team that was awful on the road all year long. And you look at it right now, the road record for this team in the postseason, right? Well, now we're back under 500 for it. And the Lakers are a better team than the Kings. I think that was one of the things that got so – it was frustrating, but it created opportunity for both you and I. The crowd of people that really thought the Kings had no chance to win the series was somehow that crowd of people that crowned Golden State heading into this series. It's like they beat a team you weren't impressed by narrowly, and now you're telling me they're the best team in the Western Conference. And A plus B never equaled C in that equation. And now we sit here, if the Lakers dominate this team again tonight, I can't say that's a surprising result. That's how bad Golden State has been all year on the road.
Yep, and then you have to talk about the passing of the torch. Like, if the Golden State Warriors beat the Lakers, LeBron has to come out to midcourt and tell Steph, you know what? Good luck hunting down Michael Jordan. I wasn't able to do that. Because I'm just watching ESPN clips right now and some highlights where, you know, they've had some epic battles because it felt like for a while they met every single year in the NBA Finals. And that's the way it was, which, again, brought some ratings there, brought some fun, brought some interesting stuff. Two great teams, or should I say one great team and LeBron James.
But can I just quickly with this? So you and I weren't doing shows together with Kevin Durant. We didn't know one another when KD decided to go to Golden State. So I don't really know what your take on it is, though I think I would have a pretty confident assumption. Oh,
I
did you?
It. Yes.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, that's
hold on. Surprising. Yeah, but why would you think I loved it?
But you like LeBron, so I can't figure it out because
there you go. There you go. Because Westbrook and Durant together adding, they probably would have had a championship. But the fact that I saw James Harden leave, then, you know, Kevin Durant's out the door because this guy always thought was, because the joke would be you'd watch that team and Durant would get cooking. Like, I'm talking like five straight trips up the floor, he's splashing away. And the next five trips, Westbrook's like, well, now it's my turn. Brick, 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 brick. And I used to enjoy it so much going like, but I can't have Westbrook win a championship if it played. Because my narrative through Westbrook's entire NBA career is I thought he's the most selfish basketball player I've ever seen in my life. And I was, you know, you've heard me say it many times. If you asked him, you're going to lose every game next year, but you're going to get a triple-double. He'd say, that's the greatest season of all time. We never won a game as a team, but I got a triple-double every game. Yeah, I love that. Sign me up for that. I truly believe he would do that. So that's the only, not because they built a super team. It's the fact that Westbrook got left, which means he's probably never going to win a championship, and it looks like he won't.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Now, again, that could have been accomplished, though, had he not gone to Golden State. Here's the point I want to make, though, and here's the thing. I've always been right about this. Mm-hmm. It was bad for basketball that he went there, and it ended up hurting Steph Curry's legacy despite him winning two titles. And I want people to think about how ridiculous this is. Donnie, they run back these now, oh, look at these wars these two had together. Imagine if in the middle of Larry versus Magic, Moses Malone just showed up on the Celtics.
Yeah.
What the heck? What is, you know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, you know, they were having these wars and Moses Malone kept winning finals MVP. I'm like, huh? Wait, what? I feel like that's not the story then. The story can't be Magic versus Bird if Moses Malone kept winning finals MVP. But that, you know what I mean? Like, that's what happened. It is Steph LeBron, but it's not the full story. You can never tell it that way of Steph LeBron. No matter what you want to do, it's why last year was so important for Steph to win that finals MVP. He needed that. No matter what people said, he did need that, and he cared about getting it, and he got it. And he got it, and he deserved it last year, obviously. But it's one of those things, and it's, to me, it's so apparent at all times. I get like, oh, man, this unbelievable rivalry that randomly Steph Curry for two of the years wasn't the second most important guy in. It's one of the worst things that ever happened. It made basketball almost irrelevant for 2 years, because we already knew what the end result was going to be. And that's never what it should be. And it was bad. It was bad for the game. And thank goodness it ended. But man, what a waste of time that was. What a gigantic waste of time.
By the way, you know, going back to those like series where they were going back and forth with each other and the LeBron James teams, like he literally was a one-man band out there trying to get the job done going up against Steph Curry. But you're so right about that. Like the wars where it was Steph Curry, and then you say, well, who was the MVP? Oh, Andre Iguodala. Which the reason I bring up Iguodala is, obviously he's a Philadelphia 76er. Couldn't stand him when he was here. Wanted to be a max guy, but it's not a max guy. Winds up on one of the best teams that be ever assembled and is the fifth wheel that got left open every single game, whatever shot he wanted. And then on the defensive side, man, he was great against LeBron. Fouled him every trip down the court. LeBron put up record-breaking numbers, and we were led to believe that Iguodala was fantastic, which really my head exploded at the end of that trip when Golden State won. Iguodala got crowned as if all he did was hack LeBron and then hit wide-open shots once in a while. That was pretty crazy.
I'm someone who I understand the people who say you can never be the MVP of a series if you were in a losing effort. I don't think that's actually true. It's fine. You don't have to get... Like, the people... So, the year Iguodala won it, I think LeBron should have won finals MVP, even though they lost.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And my best case of being right is the fact that Iguodala won the damn thing. They gave it to Iguodala, because they're like, man, he slowed LeBron down. You're like, did he? I don't know. LeBron averaged like 35 in the series.
Yes,
I don't...
Correct.
That's an interesting way to describe what he did. I don't know if that's what happened there. And these are all of the things that tie into this rivalry. Do you know how it actually would have done a lot for Steph if he could have gone out there and beat LeBron head to head? But that didn't happen. That's not the way it played out, and everybody knows it.
Iguodala, sensational.
Shout out to Matt.
By the way, where is that guy? Is he still playing? Is Iguodala even still on the Warriors? What is that? He's not getting in?
I think he's a coach now with the team.
I lost all his money in FTX. That stinks. Oh, well. It happens, people. We will be back after the break. Don't go anywhere. SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh. fresh beat behind the scenes. What is this?
Yeah, it is.
You sent this through?
Yeah, I did. It's a Jumbotron Blank Poppin' by Drake. Oh, here's the deal. Great. This is Drake 21 Savage album. It's been out for a while, but it didn't hit me like everybody else, so I never made it the whole way through. So that's a track that's a little bit further down the end there. And yeah. I heard it for the first time actually this weekend. I can't even pretend. And I've been listening to it nonstop. It basically knew Drake just dropped in my mind, which is tremendous. Yep.
And what does it need? It needs one of those like outros, so like the commercial in the NBA Finals, like, you know, with a big play in slow motion. As like a hand down, man down. Yeah, it would play.
I think it would play as it an sounds NBA like that. Final. Drake usually does get involved in the NBA Finals, I feel like. So, you know what? Yep. You might be onto something there.
Yeah. No, could be. Could be ready to go here. But NBA action tonight, a couple games on the horizon. But we have to talk about this thing that did happen. Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, in the stands, somehow finds the basketball, decides to hold the basketball. Jokic decides he's already frustrated at this point in this game, wants to get the game going, reaches for the basketball, struggle ensues, ball pops up, he gets knocked over in his seat, Jokic gets ushered back to the court, another person in the stands actually gets ejected for a one-handed push on Jokic in the shoulder, which the good part is I don't think Jokic even knew what was going on at the time, nor did anybody really see that until they slowed it down. They threw that guy out, but it's just kind of funny the way it played out here as I'm going to hold the basketball, but also, Kevin, I love Malone, the coach of the Nuggets, and also Jokic, taking the back shots, which makes me laugh at the owner by actually saying, like, they knew, but first of all, they knew exactly who the guy was, but they keep just referring to him as a fan, which is really making me laugh at this point.
Yeah, it's a... So I think in the moment, I don't think Jokic knew. I could be totally wrong. Obviously, after the fact, you're well aware. There's no way it's not been told to you who he is. And I'm not. Here's the thing. You can try. Oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter, and it's saving Jokic. That's the truth of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Okay? I actually don't think. So let's pretend he is a regular fan. Are you telling me that a guy jumps into the crowd to save a basketball and a regular fan holds the basketball? Is that really that insane? Is that really the, like, I can't even believe this guy held the basketball? Like, why is that the craziest thing we've ever heard of? Jokic going out there and trying to rip the ball out of the guy's hands because he's trying to fast break while Josh Okogie is in the stands is another ridiculous
soccer
move. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Like they were never going to let Jokic inbound the ball while Okogie was sitting on his forehead. Yes. Like, that was never while the ref was picking him up. So, again, Jokic was out there. I don't want to say, and that doesn't necessarily mean he was in the wrong, but what he was doing was over the top anyway. Like, it was never going to work. It wasn't like, he's really cost them an opportunity in transition. No, he didn't. Jokic was never going to throw the ball down the court to Jamal Murray for a quick two. Like, like you just perfectly said, it's not soccer. It's not how that works.
Guy's laying down. You hurry up, get it. You keep moving. The ref just looks at the player down like, you going to get up or not? We don't care about you. And then he gets right up at that point. But I do appreciate the fact that he holds the ball. But why Jokic even cares about the basketball, I still can't understand that. Because usually the refs are very fast in the NBA. They're in good shape as well. When it looks at, that's one of those plays where the ref goes up to the fan owner and just, hey, give me the ball right here. But the fact that, like, he held the ball and almost like pinned it against his side, like, all right, the basketball is mine. Jokic's like, no, it's not. We got to play a basketball. It's almost like you're in the playground. Like, we only have one basketball. Give me the basketball. Like, that's how it felt. Like, no, just keep the game moving. What's the big deal here? It would have taken an extra 1 second for the ref to say, hey, let me have the ball right here in the game plays.
Absolutely. And look, the thing with the Jokic, because I'm not trying to, I don't want to exaggerate. So I don't, he shoved him, he pushed him, he nudged him with the forearm, right? Like, that's what Jokic did.
Yeah. If it was a push with an elbow. Yeah.
Yes. If he did that, okay, if he did that to the guy that reached over a crowd of people to push Jokic, right? That guy. We'd be having a very different conversation today, because that guy probably wouldn't have flopped like, you know, old Matty Boy did and sold the call. That guy would have then probably shoved Jokic back. And then I don't know what Jokic would have done, quite frankly. I'm not sure what Jokic would have done if he actually felt a real push
straight to his chest. I'm not acting like that guy would beat up Jokic. No, Jokic would turn that guy into dust. But that's the problem, is that Jokic would turn the guy into dust. And that's not what the NBA wants, which is why, and again, I don't think it's going to happen at all, but there has been actual conversation around Jokic being suspended from level-headed people, because it's an obviously, it's what he did cannot happen. And we know that leagues sometimes say, look, this might not be great, but we'll be damned if we set the precedent that what Jokic did is acceptable.
Because, and again, I don't think he should be suspended, and I don't want him suspended because, you know, we want to watch good NBA basketball, regardless of my ticket in my pocket here for the Suns. But having said that, the precedent has to be there, because what happens when the next guy just goes, well, wait a second, I just watched Jokic knock a fan down, and you're like, hey, man, no harm, no foul, and it's not a big deal here. It's when you know what that would possibly lead to, and the joke was, hey, if, you know, he doesn't know, it's Matt Ishbia, he knocks him down, some other guy tackles Jokic, it's a melee on the sideline, Jokic is done for the rest of the playoffs, regardless of how far they go. $400,000 in fines. Two guys left the bench. They're all suspended 15 games. That's where it actually could have gone. So I do believe the NBA has a right. I don't want to see it happen at this point, is what I'm saying. But also, can we get to the bottom of this? Why is Ishbia selling that? What is the point? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he sold it like he wanted something to happen.
I know that's unbelievable. Sound like a joke, but I think that's instinctual. From a
like
guy
he
that
thought he was actually playing
basketball.
A basketball. Like, he's been 25 years removed from playing basketball, and he sold it like he wanted. Yeah. Like, they were like, oh, I got a joke. Like that split second instinct goes, you know what? He just elbowed me. If I go down, he might be lost for the series. And the fact that he tweeted today, it's like, oh, you know what? I got to make this look better. Like, please don't suspend him here. But in the moment, that's what he's selling.
So I don't think in the moment he is selling, oh my gosh, we're about to win this game. He's going to get thrown out. The brain can't work that quickly. Mm. But I'm telling, and I this is not a joke. If you've gone out there, you've played basketball, you're now in this little odd skirmish there, and somebody does something that usually would register a technical foul, right? What you'll do is you'll sell it to get the tech. What he did is what guys do, but you know how they always say that sometimes they don't catch the first, but they always catch the second, right?
Yeah.
Where he's basically like, oh, let me just go down, hands up, tell the ref, I didn't do anything wrong. This guy pushed me. I didn't do anything. This guy pushed me. It's a quick trigger thing. Your brain just operates like that, where it's not this malicious, this is all going to get Jokic suspended. It's just the brain moving quickly and the end result being what the end result was. But this is, again, where Jokic is lucky that the guy this happened with is one of the 50 most important people in basketball. He's lucky that that's the case. That if they want to go out and give Jokic and Ibisha fines, they can. But you can't fine a citizen. That's not going to happen, okay? But you can fine Ibisha if you want. You can fine him more than Jokic, in fact, because he's got more money than him.
You know, it's funny, too, because, like, if you, and it's Jokic, of all people, right? You don't really equate it so much for him, even though, did somebody take a run at, like, and hit him from behind one year? Who did that? Was it Jokic that got hit by, or Jokic did it?
No,
Jokic
did it.
Yes, he did it. Miami Heat guy, right?
Is it
one of the brothers.
Yes, Marcus Morris.
There you go.
Yes. Or Markieff Morris.
Yes.
Markieff.
Yes, one of those.
It is one of the
brothers.
Most forgotten about things, I feel like, sometimes ever. Look, the Morris twins are massive instigators, dirty players. Everybody knows it. And Markieff was out there messing around with Jokic. No doubt. And then Jokic came up and shoved him from behind. And
Whiplash.
Keith, Donnie, because I remember you joked about it. Because he basically got, like, carted off the court. And you're like, oh, that looks crazy. And I understand why that was your reaction. And then Donnie, Markieff Morris was out basically the damn near entire season. And Jokic got one game for costing a guy 50 games. You can't go, oh, come on, he didn't do anything, when the end result was a guy missing 50 games. But since Markieff Morris is obviously not a star and people weren't checking in on his availability on a nightly basis, Jokic got away with it. But it does show a moment like that, that Jokic, in a skirmish,
lacks judgment and probably will do something he shouldn't do. I feel like I know that this probably comes off like I want Jokic suspended and I'm trying to act like he went out there and did this insanely malicious thing. Neither of those are true. But what he did, he is so lucky that that was the owner of the Phoenix Suns. And I can't believe anybody else has an alternate take. I cannot believe that there are people genuinely today who think Ibisha is the one who should be counting his lucky stars because he's an owner. That is crazy.
Now, see, I'm not on IG, and I don't follow Jokic. Now, are there any pictures swirling of the Jokic brothers just looking mean and ready to go if anything happens now? Is that we going to get another picture like that?
Yeah, probably. They're going to be out, you know, sitting courtside against Denver, just sat right
Man,
next to
how big is that family?
I mean, yeah, big dudes, no doubt about it. And real dudes, no doubt about it, right? And it all plays in. He's not going to get suspended. But I just,
when do we hear from the NBA?
You'll get that like Woj tweet tonight.
Today?
Probably.
4 o'clock?
Yeah, something like that. You'll get the Woj tweet. I think Woj will have it for this. This feels like something Woj usually gets first over Shams. Unless it's going to be, you know what it'll be? It'll be the league announcement. So it'll be one of those, like, everybody's going to tweet it at the same time. So
any chance Ari Mirov gets it first? I mean, what are the odds on that one?
I mean, he might. I mean, he'll bang a retweet on it, though, if it's going to swing some likes up the column.
By the way, Ishbia said exactly on his tweet, which was 2 hours ago, great win for the Suns last night in an amazing series so far. That should be and is the only story. Suspending or fining anyone over the last night's incident would not be right. I have a lot of respect for Jokic and don't want to see anything like that. Excited for Game 5, go Suns. So I think when people saw that, it was like, well, you know, they're not going to say. But again, your angle is correct here. I understand how he's like, hey, look, man, you know what? I probably caused a little bit of this. And I would hate to see, like, you know, an owner, which Stephen A. Smith actually just put out a Twitter video right now, an owner flop. Honestly, it was a great one. Bravo. So I'm not going to listen to it live on the air, but we just brought up that same topic. And it's funny that the owner sold the move, which is exactly what a, you know, trainer / 12th man on the bench that gets in every once in a while in a college basketball game in a big environment. That's what he's going to do. And it went right. It's just the way it played out was funny, but honestly, it could have been because what happens, and I'm just saying, like, not even with the Suns players, Ishbia goes down. There's cops and security all over the place. They just see the owner of the team get dropped. You don't even know if the elbow connected or not from one angle. It could have been so much worse. It could have.
Of course. Of course.
And like cops arresting Jokic on the court. I mean, it could have been craziness.
But again, my whole thing with that is, right? Like, so again, we're going to work off the assumption because this is what Denver wants us to think. Yeah. They didn't know who that was. So that means that if any fan grabs the ball off of Jokic, he's going to give him a good forearm to the chest.
Yes.
I'm now, just Jokic, all the way around and say, you know what, Jokic for the rest of the series. I mean, you know what, Jokic for the rest.
I mean, if Jokic would have hit him with a power bomb in the seats, I mean, that would have set it all off right there at that point. He's twice the size of HB out here. We'll be right back here. One more quick segment, hour number one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quick segment before we hit the top of the hour. Your phone calls, hot topics, breaking down both basketball games tonight and some NBA, MLB games here. But this is the time we like to find out where JP is going with his wagers. Now, JP, last time you were on the air was Thursday night. What did you go with Thursday night? Like, what did you even
excellent
have
question.
Last week? Yeah.
Yeah, excellent question. That's it.
There you go. K-Dub, you got your reminder?
I know what it was. I took the Looney rebound prop, and then they benched him.
Tough scene.
Good call by you, though, Kev. You nailed that.
I'll say,
what'd you think, Looney was going under?
I mean, I said over, and then Kev said, I don't think he plays extended minutes on Davis. Mm. And it was literally exactly what happened.
Yeah, I also correctly guessed that's what he was going to bet. So, yeah, I was pretty dialed in there.
Locked in.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's right. I was close too, but oh well. Wasn't able to push the ball over the goal line here. Now, JP, we got NBA action tonight. You got Knicks, you got Heat, you got Warriors, you got Lakers. I mean, are we tuned in tonight to the NBA, or are you going to flip the deck and go hockey, baseball? It's got to be NBA, right?
Crazy. We're going to the NBA. We're going to a player points prop in that Knicks Heat game.
Oh, man, come on, man. Exactly. The worst game in the history of the NBA playoffs tonight, Knicks Heat. Four-and-a-half point spread, 208-and-a-half.
You're being too much.
I think you could tape delay. I'd rather watch a Heat-Knicks game from the 90s on repeat with, like, Patrick Ewing and the boys going up against Alonzo.
The total for that game is 184-and-a-half. All the same. No, you're being too low on.
I'm very upset
Knicks.
With this series. Yeah, like I don't care about the series, and they keep on. It's the game I can actually watch repeatedly, and I get angry at this.
Come on, I think there's got to be some anger a little bit. There's got to be some anger a little bit there because they eliminated your Milwaukee Bucks, right?
No,
it's got to be some hard feelings.
Well, there wouldn't be if it was like 121-120, but every game was like 68-62. I mean, come on now. Stop the madness. Stop the madness here. And by the way, if you want me to stay up for Warriors-Lakers tonight, tomorrow will be Joe Ranieri and friends in the morning, which I probably won't be able to wake up for that at that point here. Hour number two is coming up next. And I got a question for Kevin. If he would feel disrespected with a certain prize, find out what those prizes are next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.